Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
For rap music's biggest online archive of legends and pioneer interviews as well as underground music from around the globe, visit us now at UGSforLife.com.
Yeah! President Beta! Murder Master Music Show! Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show today. This right here is where the real rap acts.
From the Dayton family.
Baby, this is for all the little.
What up, y'all? This is Eshop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Episode 99 of the Murder Master Music Show, episode 100, will be here October 24th, and that will be the night we drop the mixtape, Murder Master Music Show mixtape, volume 1. But tonight, you know, enough about episode 100. Tonight is episode 99. We got a real, real special show. I'm going to bring in my co-host for the evening, Mac J. What's up, Mac J?
Yeah. What up with the prayers, UGS for life, you know?
Of course, man. And the guests we have tonight, these guys are, in my eyes, legends in the underground rap community. I had the pleasure of reviewing a couple of their projects. Also had the pleasure of interviewing them before for Murder Dog. And my brother, Seal the Bad Black, actually, was on one of their tracks, Liar, off the album Everything I Know I Learned in Lockup, and on SIBO's West Side Riders 4. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on the craziest motherfuckers I know in the rap game, Woodpile. What's going on, fellas?
What up?
What up?
What up with you?
Man, it's good to have you guys here. And, like I was telling the audience, I've had the opportunity of interviewing you guys before. But for the people that don't really know about Woodpile, can you explain the history of you guys, how you all started and how Woodpile came together?
Yeah, we came together basically in Critical's garage. Crisis and I met each other, and he was a good battle rapper. I had a studio. I thought I would record him. And one day he told me, well, I got a brother and he does music too. I was like, cool, bring him over. Does he rap? He was like, yeah, he raps, but you may not like it. So anyway, our Critical rap with that gruffy Chewbacca-style voice, fell in love with it. And I was like, shit, I'll record both of you guys. So for a while, we were just three solo projects. We were not a group. One day I came over and Critical was in the garage in his studio and had a brand new beat made, and on the hook he had his voice going wood, wood. I was like, damn, you're saying wood? And he was like, no, I'm growling. I'm like, no, you're saying wood. That ended up being our first song, I'm a Wood. Kind of funny too, because Crisis didn't even like the song. We forced him to get on it.
I hated it, man.
Yeah, he really did. We're like, fuck that, we already recorded, you're getting on it, we're going to do a song together. Still, though, we were thinking we were three solo artists. And then later on the same day, a friend of mine came by. His name is Alex Cuervo, and he heard our music and was like, damn, that's dope. You guys should do a show. I got a show coming out soon called Off the Hook. It was a pilot TV show. It didn't get picked up, but it was a lot of fun. And he's like, so what's the name of your group? And we're like, we ain't a group. And he's like, y'all got to be a group. You sound good together. So the choice was Woodpile or Wood Family, and we became Woodpile. And you know, Critical and Crisis's real last name is Wood, too, so it's all Wood.
Yeah, plus, the neighborhood where we grew up in, there was two rival factions, two rival gangs. One's called Hollywood, one's called Wedgwood. So the area in which we grew up in was called the Wood.
So you guys pretty much, you guys were Woods from the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And Right.
Go ahead, Mac.
So y'all been doing y'all shit for a minute. I'm like, y'all done worked with a lot of different artists and shit. Is there any of them that just stand out from any of the rest that y'all done worked with since Wood's been out?
Yeah, man. Me personally, I mean, like you said, we work with a lot of artists we respect, especially the ones, you know what I mean, I used to listen to and committed crimes to listening, you know what I mean, like Steve-O, Spice One, you know, Big Psych and individuals like that. But the one that really sticks out in my mind, you know, that's coming from Crisis, the one that really truly stuck out in my mind was having the pleasure of being in the studio with G-Death. I've never in my life seen somebody as talented. What he did, it was phenomenal, you know what I mean? Usually you go to record a new song with an individual, and you know what I mean? You're playing the beat, they're writing their rhymes, you know what I mean? Sometimes it takes them forever and a day to write it on a piece of paper. But this individual, G-Death, man, much love to you, bro. We know you locked up, man. You pulled some real good shit on that. But he literally went through, he did push play. He went through the song basically just one time. And he was concussion, concussion, but mushing, and just only did one word throughout the whole song, said, all right, push record, and recorded a whole fucking verse, and my mouth dropped. I've never seen that before. It actually kind of motivated me. So, like, now I don't even use a pen and a pad while writing songs anymore. I write it all in my head because of that individual really, man, that was jaw-dropping. I've never seen that since.
Yeah,
right, like some mind blowing type shit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Much love to you, G-Death. I know you're listening to this. Much love. For me, the craziest artist that we've ever hung out with, and I really do mean craziest, is Bushwick Bill. I love that.
What up, Bushwick?
What up, Bush? Every time he comes to town, he stays in my house. Sometimes I can't get rid of him for like 4 to 6 weeks, man. He's a crazy, interesting individual. He's super intelligent. And if you feel like smoking one and talking, this guy's got knowledge in every direction, man. We actually almost signed with Rap-A-Lot because of him, but things just didn't work out. In any case, Bushwick is a hell of a man. Good dude.
Yeah, real good dude.
How did you guys meet Bushwick Bill?
How did we meet Bushwick?
It was a tour. We had that tour, remember? We went on tour with him. We did that.
Somebody
else.
No, we met him before that. I'm trying to think. He's talking about the Love and Hate tour we did with Bushwick Bill and Raz B. That was a crazy tour, by the way. Woodpile, Bushwick Bill, and Raz B.
It was a very interesting mix of the crowd, to say the least.
We met Bushwick before that. I think his manager at the time,
Rick, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, we met that dude, and that dude put us in touch with Bushwick. He thought Bushwick would like our music, and he did. You know, Bushwick helped us out. He did a lot for us.
No doubt. Shout out to Bushwick Bill. We're still trying to get. We had DJ Ready, the Ghetto Boys, on the show, one of the early pioneers. Yeah. So we got to get Bushwick on there. Another thing, you know, you guys were on the front time or the front page of LA Times, which led into obviously the interview on CNN. And I remember seeing that interview, and the lady, you could tell she tried to get at you. Like, you know, about the white pride thing and try to spin it in the y'all being racist. But you just said it right there. You let Bushwick Bill stay at your house. Would a racist let Bushwick Bill stay at their house? Hell fucking no.
I'm not too sure if you had the opportunity of reading the article of the LA Times, but you have to understand, this individual reached out to us. They're like, you know, we want to do an article on you and what you guys are representing. So we're like, hey, man, this sounds good. And the guy's name was actually Chris Lee. And he's like, I'm a Wood. I just got out of jail for a DUI. I know what it's all about.
He's telling me this shit on the phone, Scott. He's calling me from the offices in L.A., telling me he's a Wood. He knows what it's all about. Our A&R at the time is the one who hooked us up with him, our publicist.
Our publicist at the time.
Yeah, so we thought it was all good, and They flew us out to L.A. to talk to them.
Exactly. We fly out to L.A. to go ahead and do this, you know, fucking L.A. Times, man. Let's do this shit. As soon as we hit the, as soon as we enter the hotel room and we meet Chris Lee, no offense, you know what I'm saying, but the guy's Oriental. All right?
There ain't no wood.
There ain't no fucking wood. So immediately, we turn to people right. And I tell them, look, bro. There's something up with this, and this is fishy. We should just get the fuck out of here right now.
Yeah.
Fuck the interview. Let's go.
Yeah, because that's kind of strange. Like, if you're black and you tell people you're white, that's a lie, and what else will you lie about? So this was kind of strange. I think I was kind of starstruck because L.A. Times flies us out and gives us a hotel room. So I was like, nah, let's go in here and do this interview. So we did the interview. I even asked Chris Lee why he told me that on the phone. He said he was nervous, but he had a roommate that was in jail, so we knew what it was. He was talking like his roommate in first person. I was like, whatever. Then the article comes out. Says we're racist. Says we're skinheads. And says we're at war with the Aryan Brotherhood.
And Nazi lowriders.
Poor big-ass lies.
And that's crazy, man. Because you guys are the furthest thing from that. You were signed to one of the biggest gangster rappers label of all time, being that a SIBO. I mean,
well, the number one gangster rap label on the motherfucking planet. Let's just get that straight. You know?
Bigger than that, for Willis Gangster Rapping. That's SIBO.
Yeah, for real.
Been
what
locked up,
homie?
Half of his life and still managed to drop more albums than 99% of the rappers out there.
90, exactly. And harder shit, too. No watered down shit coming out that label, man.
For real. You know what, man? It's about marketing. We are Woods. We've done time in prison. We roll with the Woods there. If you're white, that's who you're going to hang with.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? So we're from that world. But we ain't racist. And neither are most of the Woods. But when you go to prison, you're going to get with your own kind. And their politics will become yours. You ain't going to go to prison and rewrite the whole fucking thing. You're going to do your time
home.
Most of these white boys got Mexican girls in the world, black girls in the world, kids that are mixed. It's just a life that you got to live while you're there. I've never been racist. I never put a flag on my body. I ain't wearing no locos, and I won't ever promote them. But when I'm locked up, they my homies, and they know it, and so do I.
Yep. That's just how it is, man. That's that other, and that's for you motherfuckers that's listening. That's that. That's real shit, because that go for everybody, whether they white, black, or, yeah, you got to stick with your kind when you in certain situations, and shit, for them motherfuckers to fly y'all out to L.A., man, and flip, that's just how the media do for a motherfucker, because a lot of
this
shit you see on TV with the gangs and shit, too, yeah, they'll screw anything just to get their ratings, so fuck all them motherfuckers anyway.
Exactly. We completely agree with you. And to go back, as you know, as Chris was saying about the lady, she was really trying to get that out of us. I mean, that the feature on CNN was like a couple minutes long on national news, but they were at the house all day long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, CNN flew out to our house, stayed there for several hours. Kareem Winters, cool ass lady, was still in contact with her. She likes Woodpile, you know, but she was there to get a story. The scoop was that we were some white power prison group at war with other white power prison gangs, and she wanted to scoop it. When she got me on the phone, she realized the L.A. Times had lied on us. So then she gave Chris Lee and the editor of the L.A. Times an opportunity to meet at a location and debate us about what they said. They put us down. We did the interview alone.
And then, matter of fact, we actually had a local magazine, our local paper called the New Times, where they did another article on it because of the L.A. Times doing Pride versus Power. And them two, those two writers went at it for quite some time, man. They were putting it in their fucking articles and shit, man. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the articles went for weeks.
Lie on these individuals and cause strife like that. And the guy, Chris Lee's like, oh, fuck you, asshole. You're just mad because I went in your own backyard and dug up some diamonds, asshole. And they just went back and forth with it, man. But we thought it was hilarious. But at the end of the day, man, we needed to get the fucking point across that, hell yeah, we're white and we're fucking proud, but we ain't no fucking racist, man. We ain't claiming power.
You know, the simplest way to explain it is like this. Essays are down-ass Mexicans. Niggas is down-ass black dudes. And Woods is down-ass white boys, and you don't have to be racist to be any of those things.
Well, yeah, it's fucked up how they always try to say, even like with, like me being black, they say we being radical or we, you know what I'm saying, we gangbangers, this and that. But
right.
if a gay motherfucker just want to say that they gay and shit like that and they doing all that shit all out in public, it's okay for them to have gay pride, but it ain't okay for a motherfucker to have pride for who they is and where they come from sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
I agree 100%. We run into that a lot. You know what I mean? Because there is a double standard. You can be brown in pride, you know, you can be black in pride, you know, but don't you dare be white in pride, you racist motherfucker.
The funny thing about it is, if you're white and you claim you're tough, then publicly, you must be a redneck or a racist or both. Well, believe it or not, we got some more white people out there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I always wanted to know how y'all met Sebo and signed to the label with him and everything.
Great question.
When we first started, you know, we're out of Phoenix, Arizona. There's a good music scene here locally, but it's small. There's not a lot of money, and there's not a lot happening. I'd say there's a lot of talent, but like I said, there's not a lot happening, and there's not a lot of money. I knew to get us exposure, we needed to get on the road. And we needed to perform in front of people who could make it happen for you, like radio execs. So for the first 2 years of our career, we toured the nation and did all the music conventions. We did the Northwest Music Explosion. We did South by Southwest. We did the Diversity Fest. We did Urban Network. We went and met all these people face-to-face, shook hands, listened to them speak at the seminars, and then we competed against all the rest of the groups at night to win awards and shine. In fact, we beat some people that are pretty famous right now.
Lloyd
knows Woodpile. We beat him. I never seen a grown man cry over a paper award. We performed with quite a few people and beat a lot of stars out there today and shook a lot of hands. What it finally came down to was, these guys from RBC Records were holding a seminar. I was there. Critical Crisis hadn't even shown up yet. And afterwards, you could get in line and go ask them a personal question or something, you know? So I got in line, and I have my CD with me, and I'm all thinking, these people are going to sign me. So I walk up to them, I show them my CD, and I say, I'm Woodpile, I want you to listen to our music and sign us. I didn't know what the fuck to say, so that's what I said, and it was actually Brian Shafton. He grabbed the CD, took a look at it, flipped it around a couple times, and said, well, there's three of you. Where are the other two? And I said, well, they're not here. Before I could even finish to let this motherfucker know they'll be here a little later, because we were performing that night, he kind of just cut me off. And he goes, you guys won't even be around next year. And he pushed the CD back through the table to me and looked over my shoulder like, next. And I grabbed the CD. I usually got a big mouth. I'm surprised I didn't tell him off, but I just walked off. Well, believe it or not. Oh, by the way, he said one more thing. The other thing he said was our artwork sucked. He said the word Woodpile was too small. You couldn't see it from across the room in a CD store. That's the other thing he said. And I was like, all right, fuck it. But I didn't say it out loud. I grabbed the CD. I left. A year later, at the same convention, Urban Network in Palm Springs, this time I got Critical and Crisis with me. And we listened to their seminar again. And then we wait in line again for that chance to ask them a question. And I walk right up to them. I show them my CD. The artwork is completely fixed, by the way. And
right.
I go, how are you doing, Brian? I'm Diesel from Woodpile. A year ago, you were an asshole to me. But you told me to do two things. To stick together and have my group with me. They're here. And to change the artwork. I did. So now I'm telling you, listen to it and then sign us. He was blown away. He said, Bob, come here, man. Come here. He called everyone else from the company over, you know. And he said, tell me what you just told me again in front of them. So I said it again. They all fucking loved it. They thought I had balls. They said, we're going to listen to the CD. I said, well, we're performing tonight. You guys should come watch. They said, no, we're heading back to L.A. right after this, but we'll bump the CD. Well, before they got back to L.A., they called us and were offering us deals. that eventually turned into SIBO, because he was one of West Coast Mafia was one of the labels managed by RBC, and they played him for SIBO, and SIBO said, I fucking love it. If they're real and I can verify it, I'll sign them. Verified, and we signed.
That's what's up, man.
The rest is history. And shout out to SIBO.
Yeah,
we just had him on the show twice, once with Zero and then once by himself. So shout out to SIBO. Now, you guys, are you guys still with West Coast Mafia, or are you doing your own thing right now?
We're doing our own thing now. We're not with West Coast anymore, but we parted in a beautiful way. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no love lost. Ain't no bad business. It's straight up, we're ready to do a bigger thing on our own. And so that's what we've done. But we got mad love for SIBO. You know, we still do shows with him. You'll hear some songs with us and him. They'll always be respect because he gave us our first real chance.
Oh, yeah.
And we will never forget it.
Hell, yeah. Shout out to Peepo, too, man.
Yeah, the whole West Coast Mafia family.
Yeah, what's up, Mob?
Yeah, definitely shout out to SIBO. I want to ask you this now. We another guy we recently had on the show was Jerry Heller. And shout out to Jerry Heller. He was
Jerry Heller.
Really, really controversial. Yeah, Jerry Heller, Ruthless Records. I heard that he called you guys the White NWA. Now,
hell yeah.
First of all, it's a two-part question. How did that make you feel? And, you know, coming from a guy like him, you know, who's managed people as fucking Marvin Gaye to working with Eazy-E, and how did that all come about? How did you guys even meet with Jerry Heller?
Well, I mean, first of all, just to answer the question, when he called us the White NWA, I mean, that was huge for us. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, us, you know what I mean, Woodpile is what we are. I mean, you know, we're definitely on that hardcore tip. And for him, being the pioneer, because, I mean, in truth, there really be no fucking such thing as gangster rap if it wasn't for Jerry Heller. People could point fingers and do whatever they want, but let's be honest, he's the one that put out NWA, and they became what they became. But he was doing, he's been in the music business for years. So when he called us to write NWA, that was absolutely fucking huge, man. That was huge to us.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who's been very relevant in the music scene since the 60s.
And still is.
And has touched so many groups that people have no idea. Most people only know Jerry because of NWA, but Jerry had already done so many monumental things before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way we met Jerry was through Wise. He used to be an A&R for West Coast Mafia.
Yep.
He's now urban music director at 101, and he's a part owner at arena.com. He's the one who hooked us up with Jerry. He knew Jerry would love us, and Jerry could help us and do things for us, and it's been a great relationship ever since.
Yeah. We've hung out with him a few times, man. He's told us a lot of stories, man. Don't worry, we won't patch nothing on, but, I mean, hearing some of the stories from him, it just solidifies that a lot of these mainstream rappers are nothing but cock-sucking, faggot-ass wannabes, you know what I mean? They ain't doing any of this shit, they ain't from that, they didn't do this. It's fucking hilarious how these individuals try to portray themselves, you know? Everybody wants to be a gangster, but nobody wants to pay the dues to get there, man. Just because you call yourself something does not make you something. You know how you earn your name in the hood? You earn your name and it's given to you, bro. You just can't fuck it all of a sudden. Hey, man, I'm going to name myself this today and that's what I'm going to be. Nah, bro.
Right.
That ain't even solidified. That ain't even real. You just put the name in the fucking hood. So these individuals are just fake as shit, man. And hearing him call out and basically tell us these stories of these individuals was just, I mean, we laughed, we drank. Not to mention he was completely blown away by the bill we could put down. Remember, man? Like, you motherfuckers know how to hold your liquor. I can't. I didn't need that in my life. I can take liquor like that.
He thought we lived in L.A. because we kept popping up and seeing him.
Yeah,
he was like, well, fuck it. Let's do Hooters at 7 every Thursday. I'll pay because that's where he always wants us to meet him. And we're like, bro, we don't even live in L.A. He's like, oh, shit, I thought you lived here.
I thought you lived here. You gotta,
we live in Arizona.
We live in Arizona. Then he was like, damn, y'all came all this way to go to Hooters? I'm like, please, please, damn, Jerry, of course.
That's what's up.
Shout out to Jerry Heller, man. Hell of a guest. Man, because of Jerry Heller, we landed on fucking BT, XXL. Can't even tell you how many spots we landed. So shout out to Jerry. We got to have him on the show again in the future.
Right there, man. He's got some stories, man. I don't know, you know what I mean? Maybe he just tells them, you know, when you get close in. But that man's got some stories, man. It's a wonderful, wonderful fucking story. I thought we had some stories. Jerry Heller's got some motherfucking stories for that ass, man.
He sure does. Jerry Heller is the boss.
Yeah, the boss right there, man.
And I want to ask y'all what y'all think about the other white rappers in the game. And I ain't talking no Vanilla Ice ass shit or none of that shit, but like the new coming in a lot of these white rappers that they got out now, with y'all being Woods and all shit, you know?
No.
Well, first off, I have one thing to say. Not one of these rappers ever called himself a Wood
until
after us.
If they even do.
Most of them are faking it. We could talk about it by name if you want. I have no problem punching any of them.
Period.
Look, it's our style. It's ours. We did it first. When N.W.A. did it, they even got upset when other people tried to do gangster rap. This is ours. Like, we claim it, we own it. Come through us if you want to do it. So the rest of these white rappers, they're kind of a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if they're going to try to portray themselves as that, because if you really white and you as hardcore as you are, then you should be referring to yourself as a fucking Wood. Period. Because if you don't know what the fuck a Wood is, then you don't know what the fuck is going on. What'd you do, 24 hours in jail? 24 hours in jail? Get the fuck out of here, man. And most of these white rappers are, you know, let's be honest, they're wiggers, man. No disrespect, but that's real shit.
They don't know who they are.
We may be white, but we act accordingly, you know what I mean? We there is nobody that could be like, those motherfuckers are trying to act like this. No, bro, we are who we are.
Put it to me like this, man. A lot of these white rappers, they like to refer to themselves as nigga.
It's ridiculous.
But we know, if SIBO was in the room, they would never use the word. They're scared. They know they ain't it. It's just something they say amongst their other white friends, who also like pretending.
Because it sounds cool. And once again, it goes back to the frame of everybody wants to be a gangster.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Nobody really put the work to get in there. You know what I mean? It takes scars, bars, you know what I mean? Blood and all the rest of them, man. And, I mean, just like...
But I say they want to be gangsters, but most of them fucking faggots anyway, if you ask me. White and black. I named several ones. There's plenty of them. The ones that you're hearing on the radio the most of the time, like them Trinidad James type motherfuckers, them Strange Music motherfuckers, all them motherfuckers. It's a lot of fags in the game, man. And they talk that hard shit, and they not finna do shit.
When you say fag, you ain't talking about a weak man. You're talking about dick suckers and asshole reamers. And it blew me away that our industry is stacked with homosexuals who run the motherfucking game. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
They own the media. They own most of the labels. And if they don't go that way, they go both ways. We bumped into some of the weirdest shit.
Oh, man.
Without putting names out right now, I'm just going to say this. The majority of the people that we've met who can really pull strings, I'm talking bigger than any name we've mentioned so far, they either Luciferian, homosexual, or both.
That Illuminati shit is real.
Illuminati is Luciferian. It's just a prettier word.
Yeah. Fuck them motherfuckers.
Going back to the white rappers, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's basically what we are. And the genre of music that we do, because we do, let's not both beat around the fucking bush. We do hardcore gangster-ass fucking music. So for us to be white, I mean, that is the fucking minority, right?
Right.
And you do have a lot of white artists trying to do that and trying to consume that persona. But if you were never even that in the beginning, how the fuck are you ever going to get that? Do you see videos of, like, individuals making fun of people like that? You know what I mean? Because they feel as though that's what they have to act like.
And there are a bunch of Vanilla Ices, but we live in a time where the media don't call them out anymore.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Portray something that you're not. And that's always gotten individuals in trouble.
By the way, I met Vanilla Ice. He's cool. He ain't gangster from Miami, but he's cool.
I don't know if you're really afraid to be a gangster, though.
Hey, well, Mac just mentioned Strange, and I heard that you guys didn't get along too good with Strange music. Wasn't there some type of incident, a video shoot?
Great question.
You're talking about at Paramount Studios?
Hey,
I heard something back in the day about that, but what happened?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm going to have Diesel explain that, but I think it's a little bit more to the story. So it's more in the Paramount Studios. Diesel, why don't you go explain the whole fucking story about fucking Strange music?
Well, we got to start way back. When Woodpile first started rapping, we were in backyards with a keg and a fucking microphone, you know, doing anything we could to throw a show. Eventually, we got the opportunity to pre-sell tickets, hand out flyers, and open up for bigger shows. One of those was Tag Line. We started pre-selling tickets, handing out flyers, and doing shows with them wherever we could. And we built a relationship out of that with him. In fact, it got to the point when he came to town, we'd go out, party together, drink together. One time, this big fucking bodybuilder picked on him and a dude named Tragedy. His bodyguards, Tech's bodyguards, were scared. Critical Crisis beat the fucking dude up for him.
Hold on, let me. Hey. You know, all due respect, you know, to Tech's bodyguards, that was the biggest motherfucker I have ever seen in my life. But y'all still bitches for backing down.
Big motherfucking dude. We walked into the club. We all sat at this big long table, and this big fucking dude walked up to us. The DJ was told by security that was Tech N9ne, Woodpile, and Tragedy. So the DJ made an announcement and everything. And then this big fucking steroid monster. I mean, I'm the biggest fucking guy I've ever touched in my life in a fight. I'm talking enormous. This dude walks up to the table, looks right at Tech N9ne and Tragedy, and goes, "Fuck Tech N9ne and fuck Korn." Now, I don't know why he said Korn. Because the DJ said Woodpile, I don't really know what the fuck, but he must have thought Tragedy was from the group Korn or something, you know? So as Tech and his bodyguards are talking nicely, Critical's looking over at me like, should I do something? And I'm on the whole other side of the table. And that dude goes, "Fuck all you fucking bitches," and hits the table. And I guess that's when Critical said, "Fuck it," just started swinging on him. Next thing I know, Crisis swinging on him, too. The waitress had just walked up with our drinks, and I kid you not, Tech N9ne and his bodyguards got the fuck up and back 15 feet away and watched.
They watched you guys.
Straight bitches.
They watched us fight their fucking fight. Nobody came to the table and said, "Fuck Woodpile." They said, "Fuck Tech N9ne." He didn't do nothing.
He didn't get his guard, and he did bodyguard.
And he had two big-ass dudes with him, but you know they were soft. You could just see it in their eyes.
I didn't Cut, as well as Chris Calico there, too, though.
Yeah.
Backed up, too.
Cut wasn't there.
Oh,
Calico
no.
was. Cut don't never hang out with us. He's called his names forever. It took us a while to figure it out. In any case, the waitress is walking up with drinks. These motherfuckers basically tackle that big dude on the waitress on the table that breaks and pins all of us on the other side of that table against the wall in the sofa. I mean, just with
Damn.
All these people in a table.
So it's only Critical and myself all alone with this juggernaut, man.
Dude, I'm fucking screaming. I think my legs are going to snap in half.
Real shit, this guy fucking, my brother and I were both on him, and he spun us around. I mean, the guy was nearly almost throwing us around. The guy was massive, man.
Like a pinwheel, man. You remember when you were a kid and your older brother or sister or something could pick up one or two of you and spin you? All you got to do is hold on? That's what it fucking looked like with two grown men and a giant.
Yeah, we finally took him down. Not going to lie, man. I tried to gut shot him, take the wind out of him, try to take the fight out of him. It was like hit the brick fucking wall, man.
Nothing hurt this dude. Security broke it up. This guy stood up. There was a wrinkle in his shirt.
His hair was
broken.
I broke my fucking hand on his jaw.
That dude had Superman hair. I kid you not.
Whoever you are, bro. We'd love to have you at a show, man.
Yeah, that dude was wood. They made us exit different ways, and we never saw the dude again. And we didn't have none against Tech. We were still cool with them then. Kept selling tickets, kept handing out flyers, and kept promoting shows.
They were pretty fucking amazed, though.
Oh, yeah, we blew their shows up. If they'll tell the real truth, they went from about 200 to 300 a show, and we're talking 10 years ago, to 1,000 people a show. So we definitely helped them in our markets. in any case, that relationship just kept going for a while. I never met Travis or nothing, but used to talk to him on the phone, and he'd send us flyers and promo CDs, and we knew it was the right thing to do. We didn't have nothing going on, and Tech did, and we had a working relationship, so we kept it going.
We weren't signed then. We weren't.
No, we weren't signed or nothing like that. After we got signed, opening up for them stopped. Like, all of a sudden, they didn't have room for us, or there wasn't any availability. We had learned about it too late. All these excuses. And I always heard them from Travis, by the way, over the phone. And I just, you know, let it be what it was. The crazy thing about it was, now we're signed by West Coast, and we're managed by RBC, the same company that manages Strange Music. So
yeah,
you would think now we're going to be doing more together. But instead, it all stopped. But, you know, I can perpetuate our own business. I kind of thought maybe it was a competition thing. I really didn't know where it was coming from, but I didn't let it bother me. What I did instead was I started booking shows and getting promoters to pay Stranger artists and us. So now I have to be on the show, and they can't get around it, you see?
Right.
So we did a few of those, and then finally we had one in Denver. It was Prozac that the artists wanted, the promoters wanted to get. He's an artist who's also on Strange Music. And so anyway, I got it all set up to where we got paid, he gets paid, everyone loves it, you get half up front, you get a plane ticket, you guys know how the shows go. And the show was basically about 3 weeks from happening, and the promoters had run out of flyers, they had let us know that, and they had said something along the lines of, would you like to add anything new before we reprint? So Prozac was all about this thing, Wicked Stock. He had taken the Woodstock idea, and he had changed it to Wicked Stock because fake motherfuckers who rap about being tough call it wicked instead of gangster, so you'll know that it's a B-movie instead of reality.
Yeah.
So he wanted to promote his Wicked Stock thing, and so he said, I'll send you over the logo. It's really cool. The word looks like Woodstock, but instead of a little, I don't know, hummingbird, whatever that logo had, he said it's a crow, because I guess he's all into the crow, you know? I was like, all right, cool, send it to me. So when I got it, I took a look at the logo, and I was like, that's not a crow, that's a vulture. Vultures have long necks that kind of look like a question mark. They got an Adam's apple. They got a beak that turns all the way down. And I know this dude Prozac, so I just call him to tell him, hey, bro, you know, this ain't no crow. You should talk to your artist. Man, I don't know if this motherfucker drew it himself and got offended or what, but he started talking tough to me. And the next thing I know, we're in an argument over the phone because I told him that his bird wasn't a crow. That's how fucking silly it was.
I'll give you two birds.
Yeah, right.
Right? But this motherfucker started talking tough to me, and I had to stop him and say, yo, bro, I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to. I may help you guys out and all, but I'll beat your fucking ass for talking to me like that. And then he told me he was going to whoop me when he saw me. And I said, great. We will fight on stage or backstage or outside wherever you want at the Denver show. We will do it in front of everyone. We will put it on camera, and I'll show everyone what bitch you are. Well, 3 weeks pass. It's the day of the show, and he don't get on the plane. He don't get on the plane.
Yeah.
So now
scary
I'm in the woods hanging out with the promoters thinking, what the fuck? I'm the one who hooked this all up. Am I going to look bad because I ain't making it happen? Prozac won't talk to me. 3 weeks ago, he already stopped doing that. And I don't know what to do, and I'm feeling bad because these promoters are out money. So I decided to call Travis, somebody I knew well over the phone, talked to him all the time. And I said, Travis, I need to talk to you about something. He said, all right, what is it? I said, well, I got Prozac hooked up with this show and got him paid for it, and now he's not getting on the plane. If he don't get on the next plane, he probably is going to miss this show. I need your help. I didn't really give him no more details. I was hoping not to have to give more details and, you know, get it all fucked up. I was trying to fix it. So he said, okay, cool. I'll call Prozac and see what's up, and then I'll call you back. I said, fine. So he calls me back and says, Prozac says you threatened him, so he's not doing the show. And I said, Prozac is 6'5", 350 pounds, I'm 180 and 5'8". What the fuck is he afraid of? He says, well, he's not going to do the show, blah, 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 and you didn't do the show through me, so I can't really do nothing for you. I'm thinking you guys need to tell the promoters just to sue him. I said, fuck that. We don't sue motherfuckers. We handle it.
Yeah.
And that's when I pissed off Travis, I guess. Because Travis said, listen here, if you think you're threatening someone, I got people in your own city that will come visit you with baseball bats. And
yeah,
I said, I wasn't
Travis, he's a bitch too, man.
He is a bitch. Check it out. This motherfucker said that, and I said, no, I wasn't threatening, but now I am. So let me make myself clear, Travis. Next time I see you, you will do one of two things. You will either shake my hand and apologize for what you have said, or you will fight me and get your fat ass beat. And then, 3 months later came Paramount Studio,
and they were shooting a music video.
And RBC called Woodpile because they don't know we're beefing with Strange, and they manage both of us, so they're thinking, hey, why don't you guys show up and be in the video with your friend?
And we said, okay. and then we show up.
So it's the three of us from Woodpile.
Just the three of us, as usual.
And oh, there was two more. There was Wise, our A&R, and then there was also Cheapo, the label owner. Now, on the way there, I told Tipo, when we show up, this dude shaking my hand, apologizing, I'm beating his ass. And Tipo's like, you guys are crazy. I can't wait to see this. So we walk in the place like we own it, just right through the fucking front door.
There's beers there. We start drinking.
Everybody's there, bro. B-Real is there. Not the rest of Cypress Hill, but Booyah Tribe.
Big motherfuckers.
Man. West Coast Can. Big shots out to West Coast Cam, another real motherfucker.
What up?
Basically, a lot of people were there that got names. They was all going to be in the video. Directors are there. I don't know if y'all been on Paramount before, but, you know, there's six people for every one camera, so the place was packed. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah. And nobody was Woodpile's people. They were all there on his payroll, Tech N9ne, Strange Music, Travis. So I walk right into the place. And it's like the needle skips. Everyone gets quiet. And I go, what up? It's Woodpile. Where's Tech? And in a little bit, he comes out from another room. But Chris Calico was there. He's always nice and friendly. Shook our hand, said hi. Cut Calhoun, you know.
Like saw a fucking ghost.
Yeah. They definitely looked scared. Cut came up and said what up and whatever. And then I said, where's Travis? And they said, oh, Travis is in that room. And I said, Travis,
we're going to go over there.
I said, Travis, come out and meet Woodpile. Walked up to the room. Travis walked out and rocked right up to him in front of everyone from Strange Music, all those rappers and all those people who work for Paramount. And I said, how you doing? My name is Diesel. I told you next time I saw you, we was fighting or you were shaking my hand and apologizing. What do you want to do, Travis? And you know what he did? He stuck out his fucking hand and said, I'm so sorry. I don't even remember what we were fighting about.
Bitch ass.
What a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, fuck Travis. That's the best story I've ever heard.
So check that shit out. So the next thing I did, because I'm really about business, y'all. I ain't even a fucking rapper. I'm a moneymaker. Everyone who really knows me knows that I own lots of businesses. I always make money. I've been doing it for a long time. So everything's money to me. So he apologized. I'm done with my ego. I know I could whip him anyway. If any of y'all seen him, it's ridiculous. I could do a juke move and choke him out. The guy can't even spin around. He's so fat.
I'm about to put the collar on him, yeah.
Yeah, for real.
We find out that... Go ahead.
I don't even know what
to talk about. Oh, I was going to talk about Prozac.
Prozac,
bitch ass hiding in the back.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking...
Yeah, but no. See, you jump shit. So before that happens, Travis basically says, I'm sorry, I don't even remember what we argued about. And I shook his hand. I said, it's all good, because all we want to do is work with you guys. Travis, this is Tipo. Tipo, this is Travis. Y'all are the label owners. We both are managed by RBC. Y'all go figure out how we get on the tour for the record the video's shooting on. They said, fine. They worked it all out, down to the fucking money that was going to be made. It was all clear. Fast forward about 30 minutes, and Sebo just landed at the airport. Tipo going to go scoop him up so he could be in the video as well. So
yeah.
Tipo leaves, and he's basically like, you guys don't get in no trouble. I'll be back.
You guys behave, man.
Yeah, that's what he said. You guys behave. I'll be back. So he takes off, and when he takes off, I roll a blunt. We're already knee-deep in their fucking beer. They're not even drinking. I'm like, it's here. Let's drink it. So I roll a blunt. I say, hey, anybody want to go smoke? And everybody's acting real scary. Even people who've never met us before, I think because they're there with Strange and Strange is acting weird, then they're acting weird too, you know?
Yeah.
I said, where's Prozac, everybody?
Yeah.
Prozac.
And everybody said, Prozac ain't here. Prozac ain't here. So we're like, okay, whatever. Honestly, because I thought we were going to get this tour thing rocking, I'd have fucking made up with him too. It's about the money. And I know I could whip him, so I don't need it.
Oh,
you know?
Cunt, we should still beat his ass, man. See if he's here. In any case,
he supposedly wasn't there. That's what we were told. So I rolled this blunt, and I said, hey, anybody want to smoke? And I can't remember, but one of the security guys looked at me and was like, can you guys smoke it outside? And we're like, yeah, no fucking problem. Nobody follows outside to smoke weed. How many times are you in a room with people you're cool with who are rolling chronic and you're a smoker and you don't want none?
Yeah.
They were scared. They were scared to go outside. So we go outside, we're puffing on a blunt, drinking on the beers we took outside, and Wise came out with us. So the four of us are standing out there. And all of a sudden, all our phones are blown up with a text message, like we all got messaged at the same time. Before I could even pull my phone out of my pocket, I got a phone call. It's Tipo on the phone. So I'm like, hey, Tipo, what's up? He said, man, you tell me what's up. What the fuck did you guys do? I'm like, nothing. We're outside smoking weed. Why? Are they mad about the weed? Because I just talked to security. He said it was cool, you know? And they're like, no, man, these motherfuckers are straight up scared. They done told security to kick y'all out. They done locked the doors, and they want y'all off the premises, or they're calling the cops. These motherfuckers.
They did it like that.
So check this shit out. You know, these doors are like storm doors. They're made out of all metal and shit.
We weren't going to get in them.
Bro, I turned around and grabbed it. It was locked. I start banging on the door, and then I just go into rage mode because I realized that we just got played like some high school kids, you know, like we can't be in the party. And I went in the fucking party. So I run around and I start banging on all the windows and everything, bro. And finally, Wise is like, we got to go. They're going to call the cops. So we split. Went and bought some more beer, but that's when we knew this bullshit was on a whole new dynamic.
Hell yeah.
About a week later, Mercedes, a chick who's a promoter right here from Phoenix, Arizona, gave us a call. She does real nice big shows, and she wanted to put us on one. She just happened to be having dinner with Tech and Travis and the whole label in Phoenix to talk about this show she's putting together. So she hits me up in a text saying, I want y'all on this show, blah, blah, blah. And then she calls me. Now, she don't tell everyone else at the table what she's doing. Remember, everyone thinks we're friends. Years worth of doing shows together, okay?
Yeah.
So she called me, and she says, yeah, I'm here with Tech and Travis right now, and we're putting a show together for a celebrity theater. I think that's where it was going to be. And we want you guys to be on it. I said, well, tell them we're ready. We'll be there. She hung up the phone with me. Within seconds, she was texting me. I don't know what you guys did, but calling you just got me into trouble. I have to say, you can't be on the show. It has nothing to do with me. It's all Strange Music. These guys really don't like you. Well, she was she was also fucking Cut Calhoun. So we found out that Cut for years had been calling us racist and basically backstabbing us while we was promoting his shows and helping him. So fuck him.
Yeah, hold on. Tell me about Cut Calhoun. You know what's funny is we had a couple of people that actually we knew that stayed back, right? You know, one of the pop lockers, the world famous pop locker.
Mr. Reed, the greatest pop locker in the world. Shout out to Mr. Reed.
One of the top freestylers on the planet.
Party Man Tony.
Yeah, Party Man Tony, man. If you don't know who he is, then you don't know what you're doing. But Party Man Tony come up, he goes, man, y'all white boys must be some crazy motherfuckers. Like,
they
I know.
They went in the jail.
He calls up and let us know. He's like, what's got these motherfuckers so scared about it? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I was just talking with the guy, Cut. Is that his name? Because he didn't really know these guys. Like, the Cut guy? He's like, man. He goes, I'm watching him, like, just talk. He's all getting, you know what I mean? He's really agitated. And I walk up to him, and I hear what he says. And he's talking this and talking that about Woodpile. I'm like, nigga, ain't you gangster? He said, nigga, I am gangster, but the Woods don't play. I'm like, ah. You know, Tony Black, man, so it's all good.
I love Tony.
Yeah, what up, Tony?
Yeah.
I hope you out of prison.
Party man Tony, thanks for the tainers.
Yeah. Man, thanks for the cocaine out in San Diego,
we
man.
We really need it.
Oh, check this shit. Come on, look at you at the local cocaine party for a whole fucking weekend, man. Right on, man.
Check this shit, right, man. The story of Paramount gets a little bigger, though. We also find out Prozac was there the whole time.
The whole time.
He was in a back room, and even though everyone had made up, he was still so scared that he forced the bullshit to happen.
Yeah.
So he gets it twice.
Two times, yeah. As Mike Leff would say.
What y'all think about Stevie Stone, bitch ass? Because I got put out of a show, too, for screaming. The motherfucker on Strange named Stevie Stone.
I never heard of him. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he had me put out of a show for screaming ah shit.
He got to be somebody new.
Yeah, he's got to be a new member. Back when we were friends with Strange, and we ain't been friends for at least 4 years now, there was nobody there named Stevie that I knew of.
What about, I mean, have you guys seen Tech or Prozac or Travis since all this took place?
Not once. But I will tell you this. Tech N9ne called me on the phone and apologized for what happened at that dinner, but he waited till after the show, and he said it hadn't have nothing to do with him. He put Mercedes on blast and said she's the liar, but we know who's the fucking liar.
Yeah.
So you know what I did? I called Bo. I told him I'm sick of this motherfucker, and, I mean, do I need to worry about anything if I hurt him? He said, no, he ain't real. I said, green light. Done with him.
Yeah. Because I just want to speak on something, too. The same parallel happened with the Bad Black, who happened to be on your song, Liar. He was signed to RBC Records, dropped an album, same label as Strange Music. We were supposed to open up for them at the House of Blues. We got there an hour and about 20 minutes or so early before we were supposed to go on. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, that's the one we're going to perform the song Liar on.
Yeah, you guys were actually going to be there and perform Liar. But they told us, there was a mix-up and we're not going to perform. So we stuck around, let them do their show. And we went upstage or backstage and we went door to door, up a flight of stairs until we found them motherfuckers. And same shit in our face. Oh, this was a House of Blues mishap. This had nothing to do with us. This happens all the time and blah, 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 blah. But then right after the show and after an hour-long contact and after I even did a review on the show and spoke good about them, then they break contact with us like some fucking bitches. But to our faces, these motherfuckers was all, just like what you guys said. Oh, it wasn't our fault, and blah, 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 making up excuses and lying. And I was even searched. I was even fucking searched. You know what I'm saying? They didn't search nobody else in my party. They just searched me.
Yeah, they're phonies, man. They call them Strange Music because they got strange ways. You feel me?
I got some strange ways.
And back in the day, strange ways meant you was faggot.
Right.
It still does.
I'm bringing it back. If you strange, you gay, it's what it means.
We're about to expose them, man.
Yeah. Well, it's
We got everything we need on them motherfuckers, man. Their family members' names, their social security numbers, their addresses. We got it all. So stay tuned to our Facebook post because we're going to be posting all this shit, you bitch-ass motherfuckers. We're going to expose it all. Whenever you move, we're going to get the new addresses, and I'm going to put those out, you bitch-ass motherfuckers. You want to play games? Yeah, we'll play some games. Social security numbers, everything, even your family members' names. Aren't you guys some family guys? You guys don't run the streets. Behave. Sit down.
We ain't got no kids or wives. We ready?
You think I'm scared of prison? a murky rat and walk around with my head held high knowing you were victims. You know what I'm saying? Fuck these dudes. We're going at them, man.
Might sell more records, too. Good idea.
Let's go into some music, though. Before we get into some music, what do you guys got coming out? And because it's been a while since you dropped the last album. I've been anxiously waiting, just like a lot of other people. What do you guys got coming out, and when is it coming out?
We've got the new album. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Beers. We have a release date for it. It is January 14th, 2014, so 1-14-14 will be the release date for Blood, Sweat, and Beers, the new album.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
It's a highly anticipated new album that the fans have been just demanding and waiting very patiently for. So
that's number four for you guys,
that's
right?
That's what's up.
It is number four. It's starting,
yes, sir.
Starting another trifectum. And other than that, we got a single coming out for one of our sponsors, Black Zombie. It's a disc golf company, clothing company for
a what?
Black Zombie.
Disc golf.
White people in their sports, man. It's disc
golf. Yeah, I've seen the motherfuckers at the park playing that shit. They throw the little frisbees at the thing and shit.
Yeah,
it's just like golf. Yeah,
I
know
what
you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, peep it though, man. Black Zombie is a big up-and-coming clothing line, apparel, and merchandise in the whole disc golf arena. And we just did, for lack of better words, the first song ever about disc golf.
Yeah.
So that'll be released pretty soon, and we're hoping to catch a buzz with all the pros that are in the game. We use their names in the songs, so maybe they'll listen.
Yeah. Hey,
what kind of
beers y'all be drinking on?
Any beer that you'll buy us.
I was just about to say shit, because when y'all come to St. Louis, man, I don't live too far from Budweiser, so shit. I'm going to make sure y'all got plenty of that shit when y'all get out here. After y'all slide by Kansas
that.
City and stomping the shit out of us, Technem, then y'all slide over this way.
Yeah, you got, hey, matter of fact, man, you should have us on your show as well, Matt.
Oh,
you know, KFYG.
Show, yeah. No doubt. Y'all be perfect for our show, too. Because it's no holes barred. Fuck you, bitch, radio. That's what it is.
Right on. I love it.
Oh, you got to have us on, man.
Oh, yeah, Prez. We're going to have to set that shit up, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. It'll be a
yeah,
hell of a show.
Right on. But, yeah, so other than that, as far as the music goes, next year there's going to be miscellaneous releases. All of our solo albums will be released next year.
We've
been waiting for forever.
Yeah, we're doing solos.
Like I told you before, we was always trying to be solo artists. It just happened to work out to put us together.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why on every single Whoop-Haw album, there's one solo song from each one of us. So we're definitely going to put out a solo album next year as well.
And I just want to say this, too. I seen a video of you, Critical, playing the guitar, man. You got some skills on that motherfucker. And I can't wait to see what, because you guys are going to do some rock and roll shit too, ain't you?
Oh, yeah. Critical's a master musician. He runs the studio. He writes and makes all the music. He plays every instrument except for, like, the horn and shit. You know, keyboards, bass, drums, guitar, you name it. Everything you hear musically is all Critical.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, this song here is called My State. Why don't you guys introduce it and tell me about it?
Yeah, what it is, it's My State. You know, a lot of rappers come from Arizona. You know, they try to rep the state. You know, I know for us, we've actually been in other cities and states where we actually represent Arizona. So for any individual who actually says they're putting Arizona on the map, why don't you perform a song about Arizona and fucking California, or do that in New York like we did before you open up your fucking mouth. But this song right here, it's banging. What do you
yeah.
want to say, Critical?
It's, you know, there's only been, as far as I'm concerned, this is Critical speaking, as far as I'm concerned, there's only been one anthem ever recorded that was something. And that was Petey Pablo's North Carolina.
North Carolina!
Oh, yeah, that was a good anthem.
Yeah.
So what I sought after, what I needed to do was, you know, create something on that level of impact for
our state, for Arizona.
Yeah, because you don't have to be from North Carolina to love that song. And so what my state is. You ain't got to be from Arizona to love it.
To be honest, man, worldwide motherfuckers were fucking streaming North Carolina and taking their shirt off and twisting it around their head like a helicopter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, here we go. This is this is it right here.
Yeah, it's
my state.
hard shit right there. Let me bring back on Mac J, Woodpile. Man, if the rest of the album is sounding like that, it's going to be another classic. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. It's been one hell of a show. And we do a lot of roundtables around here, too. Like, we'll get people from different regions and stuff. Would you guys ever do something like that?
Sure.
That's definitely what's up, man. Definitely what's up. But before you guys go, I'm going to end the show off with some more music. But I wanted to ask you, let's get into some politics a little bit. Right now the government's shut the fuck down. What are your thoughts on the president and Congress and all these motherfuckers? Basically on the government.
Technically, the government is not shut down. Obama and the White House have decided what things will stay open and they'll continue to pay for. For instance, just last weekend, the Washington, D.C. Mall was open for illegal aliens who want to say, give me amnesty. And at the same time, he built a fence around the Veterans Memorial.
Yeah.
He also has kept all eight of the government golf courses open. Everyone's getting paid and the grass is watered. So the government being shut down is kind of like a smokescreen for a president who wants to stick it to Republicans. And I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm aware they're both full of shit, but I can't stand this fucking president. Some people think he's stupid. Some people think he's even as dumb as George Bush, but he's not. He's a genius. He just happens to not like this country or the way it is, and he wants to completely turn it into something else. And that's something else I don't love.
No, neither do I. I think he was a chosen handpicked puppet for big corporate entities to control us all. I mean, the guys, like you said, he's a genius.
You already know. They picked the best person they can to continue their agenda at that time. Let's look at it like this, man. Right before Bush left office, he started bailing out a lot of corporations. He started passing big bills like Quanta Visa. Now, the money that George Bush had spent in his administration was more than all other presidents combined together, but he was still spending. When Obama and McCain were running against each other and both decided that the spending was good, you knew there was something wrong. Obama becomes president and ain't even been in there for two total terms, and he's already outspent George Bush.
It's fucking crazy.
We ain't got different leadership. We have the same leadership, but they're faster with the gas pedal now. Obama is transforming this country into a third world nation instead of a first-rate citizenship faster than anyone ever has. And he ain't going to stop. He ain't going to stop.
No.
The powers that be want this to happen, and they're pushing the agenda forward. You know, not every country stays on top forever. The United Kingdom, the UK, England was the top country until the 60s, when everyone decided they were no longer going to trade in pounds sterling. They decided they would trade in the dollar. That's when we took over more than we've ever taken over before. So now you just wait till these other countries like China decide to say, fuck America, I'm not trading in the dollar anymore. That'll be the end of it for us. And if we don't build these pipelines that make us control over half of the oil's transport, then we can't dictate how it's bought. This motherfucker's going to make us fail.
Yeah, you're right. And it's sad. It's sad because I'm a father. I got a kid, you know, and it's like, what kind of fucking world did I bring her into? And, you know, it's fucked
up. Time to move to Canada. Nah, just kidding.
The guy goes somewhere. We might have to. But
we got to stay right here, and we got to fight. At some point, it looks.
Tooth and nail,
you see how big the government is and how much control they have? There's only one or two ways out of this. An election to elect people who are non-political. The Tea Party's tried it. It wasn't very successful. They have little to no power in Congress, unfortunately. Outside of an election, the only other way to overthrow this government is a coup. It's got to be done by its own people. Because if China comes and whips our government's ass, I don't want to learn Chinese. So it's got to be us on some level. I'm hoping when the guns get to blazing, that real military men, real police officers who really love their country will not point a gun at their neighbor. If we can get that, we can coup the fucking government like we're Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Except for instead of the Muslim Brotherhood, it'll be Whip Hop Brotherhood.
Again, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on the show.
We'll set something up for y'all to come on KFYB too, man. We'll set some shit up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Why not?
Thank you so much
for having us. We really appreciate it. Much love to you, Scott Beta. To you also, Mac J. We're going to stay in touch.
For sure.
Definitely. Definitely, man. It's always an honor to talk to you guys. Let's keep this shit going, and we'll have you guys on again in the future. Definitely. Take care, guys.
Why not? You'll take care as well. Peace.
For sure.
Yeah. Coming to you, brought to you by Woodpile, straight out of the woods.
This for y'all pen to paper murderers. You motherfuckers watch a movie or listen to a song, and you think that's what the fuck you are. Woodpile, CEO the Bad Black.
West Coast Mafia, you ain't got how you say you got, motherfucker.
Tell them.
Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider. Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider. I like my beats knocking, I like my heat popping. You can catch me in the street stomping. Motherfucker, I've been known for them scuffles. Don't believe the hype, check the scars on the knuckles. Motherfuckers, drip from the side of the waist and spit some shit that'll rip the whole side of your face. You motherfuckers ain't doing nothing but telling fairy tales. You know nothing about the drug trade, guns are carrying tales. You're an actor, poorly portrayed role of a rapper. We beating the shit up out of you bastards. You be lying with every fucking word in your rhymes. You don't have no rap sheet, never committed a crime. So how are you gonna stand there and claim you a thug when you get knocked out every time you up in the club? It's with power, motherfucker, yeah, we did it again. From the hood to the bin, no, we would to the end. To the end. Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider. Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider.
I'm a felon with a felony, fuck misdemeanors. My 45, I have you screaming like hyenas. Smack one of you rappers like Ike did Tina. Me and Woodpile of blood, you block like Katrina. He tried acting hard. The tombstone will read. He died acting hard. Check his record. He got A's and B's. Check mine. I got K's and G's. I did time for a 9 with a half a kilo. This Lord is a thug like Yuck and Sebo. I could never be a once a demolition with the West Coast Mafia.
Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider. Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gas. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider.
I'm tired of these rappers with their fake ass flows. The only thing they done is a couple of shows. You shouldn't open your mouth if you never had it or done it. So shut your motherfucking mouth and stop running in the streets scared of us. Cause none compare to us, real as fuck. Our calligraphy cannot be touched. That's why we rolling with the motherfucking mafia. Real, recognize real. How you think we gotta deal? I whip your ass in these Bird City streets, bumping like a motherfucker with them lifted beats. Keep slapping your tongue with your fairy tale flows. You ain't no fucking scrappers, you bitch ass hoe. I'll break you all off, some motherfucking proper. What up, bitch? I'm fresh out of lockup. Hold up, let me put the fucking Glock up. Someone call the cops, he gon' fuck the whole block up.
Motherfucker, you ain't got no no gap. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider. Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gap. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar. You ain't murdered nobody, you definitely ain't a rider.
I admit you're a lie, but it sounds so cute the way you rap all hard about the people you shoot. But you're a lousy storyteller when up in the booth. Plus, to keep it real, fella, story's supposed to be true.
Supposed to be true.
Kinda like the beat, keep it instrumental. How a pussy like you gon' rap, temperamental. Ain't never caught a case, never seen the kennel. Boy, you got a pretty mouth, you don't wanna lose your dental. Lord, help me, I'm finna huff and puff and blow his house down, I done had enough. We in the club now, y'all acting tough. Boy, I'd knock you out if you don't shut the fuck up. Push through the crowd and call your bluff. Pull you off stage and rough you up like a lion at a cage till they put me in cuffs. You're lying in the cage, it would to fuck you up.
Motherfucker, you ain't got no strap. Motherfucker, you ain't pop no gap. Everything in your rap's a lie, you a damn liar.
What a hell of a show, huh, man? Mac, you there? So I guess Mac is not there. Yeah, it was one hell of a show.
Hello?
Oh, you there, man?
Can you hear me now, please? Yeah, can you hear me?
You hear me?
You know how to, yeah, I can hear you. You know how to, motherfucking T-Mobile do me, man. You fuckers.
Yeah, motherfuckers. But yeah, Woodpile came through, one hell of a show. And you know, people they keep, you know, saying strange of these stand up motherfuckers. Here they were exposed once again tonight, by Woodpile. And you know what pisses me off too? I mean, these dudes, they beat the fuck out of somebody for these guys, and then the way they did them in return was just fucked up. So shout out to Woodpile. Fuck Strange Music. Fuck Travis O'Gwynn. I love that story about that bitch ass motherfucker shaking Deuce's hand.
Yeah, acting like he don't remember that shit. Motherfucker, he know it. They remember every fucking thing that come their way, man. Because they thrive for that type of shit.
You got to think about it. He's there at a video shoot. 40, 50 of his motherfuckers around. It's three of these guys, and he backed down. He's a coward.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's a fucking coward. But
we don't want no
about,
trouble. We don't want no trouble. Yeah, fuck them.
Strange Birds, man. Shout out to Woodpile. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Critical Crisis and Diesel. You know, they got this new album coming out. Blood, Sweat, and Beers. Make sure you cop that shit. We're going to, well, shit, here's Brother Six, man. Let's let him on for a minute. He just made it the end of the show. How you doing, Six?
Hey, what's happening? Caught you off the tail end, man. What's the deal?
Yeah, what's good?
Oh, man, we had one hell of a show, man. We're going to, you're going to read about it, hopefully, here in a few
catch
hours.
Yeah. And they want to come on KFYB, too, man. They want to come on KFYB.
Yeah. They're welcome, man. They're welcome.
Yeah, Woodpile definitely, you know what I'm saying, they're going to be on KFYB in the future. Just some real stand-up guys, man, about business. There was one point in the interview where I was just talking to Mac where Travis had supposedly said some shit to Diesel over the phone, and Diesel says, next time I see you, you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to shake my hand and apologize to me, or we're going to fight. And they Strange had a video shoot at Paramount Studios. Woodpile got in there, and he caught Travis, and Travis shook his hand and apologized.
Hey, did y'all touch on how fucking corny Strange is, a goddamn fucking pledge?
No, we didn't talk about their pledge. Their
fucking stupid, idiot
pledge of allegiance. You know, but we talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about these swaggots in the game. We talked about these faggots in the game. We talked about all kinds of good
shit. Some political
shit,
too. Yeah.
Political, you know what I'm saying? Everything was real good. Turned out to be a real good show. Show number 99.
What's up?
Fucking.
Damn, we're getting there to 100, huh? Shit.
All
right.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, man. We got number 100. You know, still don't know who the fuck's going to be on there. You know, but we'll see. We'll see who's going to be on that motherfucker. The mixtape be released that very night. And then Dr. Kafar. Halloween, No Anesthesia. Yeah. That album is a motherfucker. Yep. So be on the lookout for that. Other than that, this Saturday, KFYB, man, what are you guys on, like 56, 57?
I think it's 57, honestly.
We're creeping up there.
57. We're getting up there.
Yeah.
We're hitting 60.
Every fucking week, man, since you guys started, props on that shit. Haven't missed one show. Just kept it going. Consistency. So,
it has to be one form or another. You have all the things at the same time. Hey, we'll give you something new. Maybe
you got something for that ass. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Shout out to everybody at KFYB. Shout out to Velvet. Shout out to Elaine. Elaine's doing a lot of work. We're working on another big show. Got a few things in the works with her. They're about to make a possible book on her life and a possible movie. So be on the lookout for that shit.
Damn.
You know, shout out to Elaine.
Yeah, man. We got some history over here. We ain't just a bunch of fucking thugs You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff over here, political, you know, and we get kind of rapey. Fuck it, you know. You don't give a fuck. Six got the duct tape.
Hey,
he got the mask.
He got the work. He got the work rape kit.
What would life be without a little bit of rape?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm pretty sure it's planned.
But we're gonna be about this bitch. We're gonna end it with this song, Pendulum, by Woodpile, off their upcoming album, Blood, Sweat, Beers. It's dropping. When did he say it's dropping? The 14th of January 2014?
Yeah.
So go out and cop that shit. Shout out to SIBO, everybody at West Coast Mafia. You know, shit, man. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep.
2 weeks. You got some life.
I've been waiting for so long.
Pendulum.